The Afternoon Show, 12:30 till 3:30, Monday to Friday, with Christine Leighton on ABC Radio Perth.
If you like politics and you enjoy food, chances are you know my next guest. Annabelle Crabb is one of the ABC's finest political writers and commentators. She's also an author, podcast presenter, and, well, she wears a lot of very fancy hats. Annabelle is in Perth bringing together her latest TV series, and this one has a special connection to Western Australians. Annabelle, nice to meet you.
Thank you. I'm just trying to think of when I've ever worn a hat.
You haven't been to a milliner recently, no?
No, I've got such a massive head and way too much hair that it is a very rare hat that I can cram on my scone.
You realise that now you're going to get a flock of hats through the ABC internal mail. Look out, property.
I can do a beanie with ease.
You do it well with the curls. Firstly, because people are going to wonder, how did you make it to Perth?
Ah, well, I haven't been here for yonks, as you can imagine, because, you know, you people having seceded from the rest of the continent.
So close.
So here's the story. I am originally from regional South Australia, and my parents, who still live there, haven't seen my children for a year. So I got back there to South Australia over Christmas. So I have spent the last nearly 3 weeks in South Australia.
Was it nice to see them?
It was lovely, of course. And so that was, the trip was worth it just for the reunification of grandparents and grandchildren, which is a pretty amazing thing. But the byproduct was professionally that after 3 weeks in Adelaide or in South Australia, I was actually eligible to come to WA. So we have been making this series and filming over the last, 6 months with women politicians and former politicians around Australia. And, of course, it's been like this incredible logistical nightmare trying to get to them. And Perth is the hardest place to get to if you live in Sydney, as I do. So we had this brainwave. We still had to interview Julie Bishop. And I was like, how am I going to get to her? Oh, actually, now that I've been in blameless South Australia for a couple of weeks and I've had, COVID tests every second day, I am, allowed to visit. So, yeah.
Great. I mean, not so good about the tests because I've had one and it's awfully intrusive.
They're ticklish, aren't they? But I will now return to Sydney and then I'll never be allowed to go anywhere again.
Oh,
so,
good.
This will be the last time we meet.
Well, it was lovely. Anyway, thanks, Annabelle. You've presented so many programs from Kitchen Cabinet to Back in Time for Dinner. What can you tell us about the latest series that you've alluded to? What will this series explore?
Well, I've been thinking of and kind of cooking up this documentary series ever since I wrote this book called The Wife Drought in 2014. Mm. And I did this little chapter on Edith Cowan.
Yes.
Who is, of course, as everybody in this state knows, the first woman to be elected to any Australian parliament. She was elected in 1921 in hilarious circumstances because the then State Attorney General, Thomas Draper, drafted laws to allow women to run for state parliament, and then promptly Edith Cowan ran for his seat and knocked him out. Just like, wow. So just raise a little glass to Thomas Draper because he paid the ultimate political price for creating an environment where women could run for state parliament. Anyway,
wow.
So she was in parliament for just one term and she was a very memorable individual. She was there for a good time, not a long time. The whole time she was in parliament, she, because there were no toilets for ladies in the West Australian Parliament at the time, she had to pop home for the loo.
No.
Yeah. She didn't live that far away, fortuitously. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, look, I got interested in Edith when I was writing this book and I thought, God, 1921. It'll be 2021 before too long. This is 5 years ago when I was thinking about it. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to make a series about 100 years of women in Australian parliaments? You know, what have their experiences been like? What's changed? What hasn't changed? And so that is what I'm now doing.
What great foresight, because it's been 100 years since Edith Cowan.
Right.
And I'm part of the alumni for that university.
Right.
Only because of Whopper and a little bit of a jazz degree, and then I dropped out. But they've had
Edith
such...
Edith would love you.
I hope so. They've had such a massive impact. You are with Christine Layton on ABC Radio Perth. My guest is Annabelle Crabb. She is in the Perth studios. So what makes this series unique?
We're not telling the story of every single woman in every single parliament. We're largely concentrating actually on the federal parliament just because we're making it for a national audience. And it's sort of triggered by Edith Cowan's election. But what we're looking at is kind of a themed approach to the common experiences that women have had in parliaments over the years, the issues that they all face and the things that have changed and the things that haven't changed. So we have interviewed around about a dozen and a half women who, and each of them is remarkable because they are the first woman to have done something or the youngest woman to have done something. So what we've ended up with is a cast of women from different sides of politics, different generations. And the special thing about it is that I've sat down with each of them for a really long time. Like the interviews are sort of 4 to 5 hours.
Wow.
And we talk about every aspect of life in politics as a woman. And it's been kind of a real, I don't know whether it's just in the last year people have been very reflective, but we've had some amazing, I don't know, reflections, revelations, some tears, some lots of laughs. And I think what we've ended up with is just a picture of how quickly some things have changed and yet how recently things were just quite bizarre. Like, you know, we've talked to the first woman who gave birth whilst working as a serving parliamentarian.
Yes.
You know, and that's not very long ago either, you know.
And Larissa Waters bringing her child into parliament for feeding.
It's amazing how recent some of these firsts are. I mean, Australia's first female defence minister is still in parliament and at the peak of her powers.
What is Julie Bishop's first?
She was the first female deputy leader of the Liberal Party.
Of course,
She was the first woman to run for the leadership of the Liberal Party. She's also the first foreign minister to be a woman in Australian history.
So just a few firsts.
She's got a lot of firsts,
Now, what has it been like orchestrating these interviews during COVID? I could imagine it's been a logistical nightmare.
It's been an absolute, think of, you know, playing a game of Jenga while blindfolded. That's pretty much what it's been like. Mm. And so we had lots of, we've only done one interview remotely in the end, and that was with Carmen Lawrence.
Impressive.
Yeah, because we just thought, well, we're never going to be able to get to the West. So we did her remotely. At that point, we still thought we could meet Julie Bishop in the ACT because she's the Chancellor of the ANU, so she goes to the ACT periodically, and I can get to the ACT, or so I thought until recently when the ACT shut its borders to Greater Sydney. So, yeah, we've done crazy things. We've driven up to the north of New South Wales and had Queenslanders come over the border, which is legal for them but not legal for me. So,
wow, I feel like there are so many swinging doors. I don't know which way they are at any point
really
in time.
It's been really confusing and
You've
hard.
Experienced them all.
And also, you know, we've had one really terrible piece of bad luck, which was we didn't quite get to Susan Ryan, and we were scheduled to film with her on, I think, the Thursday, and she died on the Saturday. And that was just a horrendous shock because we had been talking to her quite a bit. She was in great health, so had no concern at all about her. So,
who is she, just for context? I can't recall.
Oh, Susan Ryan. So she was the first, she was the only woman in the Hawke cabinet for years and years and years and years and years. She drafted and pounded through the Senate the Sex Discrimination Act and the Affirmative Action, the Equal Opportunity Act. She was, she was a great pioneer. I mean, there have been some amazing ones. We also, the other towering woman who died this year, and we did get to talk to her because she's quite elderly, is Margaret Guilfoyle, who was the first woman to serve with a portfolio in cabinet, and she was Liberal, of course. So
I'm sure you'll remember them in a great way in this series,
for sure.
And their legacy will live on, and we can learn from it.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they really achieved so much in such an extraordinarily
challenging
adverse environment. These are women who, years and years and years, sat in cabinet as the only woman, and I mean, Julie Bishop obviously was the only woman in cabinet for a period in the 2013 Abbott government when the Abbott government was sworn in.
Eight years ago.
One woman in cabinet.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is the mind-blown emoji.
Well, it's not very long ago. Anyway, so she's got plenty of reflections about that. But yeah. Think about Susan Ryan, who was the only woman in three successive Hawke cabinets.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh. And Carmen Lawrence too was the only woman in the Keating cabinet.
Well, I'm looking forward to the series. When can we catch it on air? Do you have a date yet?
Well, yeah, it'll be mid-year actually. So we've done all the filming and now we have the incredibly exciting task of taking just so many hours of excellent, amazing content and insight and squishing it into four little parcels.
Good luck with that editing, just
thank
quietly.
Thank you very much.
As if you haven't had enough to deal with. What are your hopes for 2021, Annabelle?
Well, I think just a bit of predictability and stability would be good. I think that, such an obvious thing to say, but I think, you know, around Australia and around the world, I think most of us have been in a state of heightened anxiety without really knowing it or thinking expressly about it for, you know, a year now. Because I think back to 1 year ago today, we were just horrified about bushfires across this continent. And I don't think that sense of alarm has ever really fully abated since then. And that can just take such a toll on everybody without actually reaching a crisis point. The
cortisol levels of the country are quite high right now.
So, I mean, if the COVID situation settles down with a vaccine and the geopolitical situation settles down a little bit and we just, what I hope for is a boring year. That's what I hope for. I want it to be boring for a little bit.
I like that, except for your series, which will be very engaging.
Permission to be excited mid-year when this amazing series comes along and then you can just go back to being really just full, eclipsed with tedium.
That's right. Annabelle, it was lovely to meet you in person, especially under these circumstances. Wishing you a very safe trip home tomorrow and
hopefully
we can chat again.
Yes, and may I say it is really so lovely to be in Perth. It's just, I didn't think I'd be allowed to come back for a bit, but it's a lovely place to be even for just a day or two.
Is it like a different world?
Yeah, it has a really different feel from other places in Australia. And I noticed that travelling around a little bit with this series too. And I think that, yeah, people around Australia are in very different places right now, but Perth is always a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, well, you should just stay. You can come sit next to me. I'm new. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. That's a deal.
Wonderful. Thank you.